This is to be a taped interview with Charles Renard of Milwaukee, an old-time trolley operator in Portland.
That's why you ask questions, I can tell you what.
Well, how long were you a car man? How many years?
Well, I tell you, I went on the street cars in about 1912, I think. And I was only on about 6 months when I got into a fight. So I was new, and then I had one of these fresh conductors. It started picking on me.
Yeah.
I was on the extra list. He was on the regular. Calling me names and criticizing every move I made. And so we went behind the school over there on 28th Street to have it out. Before going over there, in the meantime, I'd cooled off and I tried to beg off. I don't know, you us making fools of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, I tried to beg off. No, he wouldn't have it that way. I was yellow and all this and all that, you know. So we went over. Those uniform jackets in them, they were awful heavy. I'm taking my jacket off and putting it down, and as I started to get up, he kicked me in the nuts. And pounded the hell out of me then, he had me down. Mm-hmm. Kept saying, you got enough, you got enough. Oh yeah, I got enough. So I laid for him then. A week later, I started laying for him every day. He'd go out the back way or he'd get out some other way, see? Of course, I was on the extra list and I had no regular time, so he got away quite a bit. Finally, I caught him out over there on 28th and Ankeny, 28th and Burnside, right in the middle of the street. He seen me coming. I just walked up to him and I said, now we'll have it out. So I put him in the hospital. Well, a little fellow by the name of Cooper then was superintendent, an Englishman by the name of Cooper. He says, I don't believe in fighting. So he canned us both. Well, jobs were awful scarce at that time. I had a little bit of pull here and there. I was pretty well known in the National Guard in Portland. So I got back on. But I never had no use for it after that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the job at all, period. Mm. So I stayed a while and I quit again. And then got back on again, so I worked at three different barns. There was four barns in Portland. One in Selwood was interurban.
Yeah, where were the barns?
The Selwood barn is right down here on the end of 13th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Southeast end of 13th. What the hell would that be? Well, that's right there by what they call Gulf Junction.
Yeah.
Well, all the interurbans out of Estacada, Oregon City,
yeah,
they all went out of that barn, plus the Selwood city line.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was two grades, the interurban and the standard gauge, like the railroad.
Yeah.
And the city lines were, I don't know exactly how wide, but they wasn't as wide as the
They were about what they call a narrow gauge, weren't they?
Well, no. Narrow gauge is still smaller.
Is it?
Yeah, I was going to go see if I could. I should ask Stonebreaker up here. A fellow by the name of Stonebreaker lives up the block here. He worked on them too, about then, a little after my time. But anyhow, there were two different gauges. So that was the Selwood barn, and the only City Lion out of Selwood Barn was Selwood. Then there was Savior Barn. We called them Barns.
Which one?
Savior.
Savior?
They were, it's over on the 20, around 23rd and, what the hell street would that be over there? One block this side of Thurman. 23rd.
Oh, you mean northwest or northeast?
Northwest.
Northwest, yeah.
Northwest 23rd and... I guess the Savior, isn't it?
Yeah,
23rd
yeah,
and
Savior.
Well, that took all the west side lines.
Mm-hmm.
None of those went on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Ankeny Barn, which was 28th and Ankeny. And that took about half of the east side lines. I had the Montevello, Mount Tabor, Sunnyside, Mount Tabor, Montevello, and oh, what the hell. What's that? Oh, Rose City.
Rose City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there was the old Piedmont Barn.
Then
there
was the Piedmont Barn.
Well, I lived right close to that when I was a kid. Part of it's still standing.
Yeah. That took all the rest of the line. That had the Vancouver, the St. John's, Russell Savior.
Yeah.
Alberta.
Oh, I'd forgotten about the Alberta, yeah.
Woodlawn.
Woodlawn,
Yeah, well, what the hell else? What was on Union Avenue then?
I can't remember what that one was. Vancouver went out, Union.
Vancouver went up Union Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's Mississippi,
but Grand Avenue I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Bridge Transfer.
Oh, sure. Bridge Transfer.
Bridge Transfer. And there's one or two others there yet.
Well, Mississippi. Mississippi.
Yeah,
I rode
Mississippi.
That one. Yeah.
Mississippi.
Yeah.
The two longest lines there was St. John's and Vancouver. They were about the longest lines in the city.
Were they really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And they were both mostly in the, and most of the day were double cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or a car and trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That was Alberta, Woodlawn. That's
about it, I guess. Yeah. What were some of the, I was trying to think, what were some of the letters that they had for these on the outside? Like, Mississippi was MA, I remember that, Mississippi Avenue, you know, on the front of the car.
Yeah,
what did they have for bridge transfer? BT, is that what they had? BT?
BT, yeah. Montemello was MV.
MV.
All of them started the initial of the first letter.
What about Sunnyside? What would that
Sunnyside, be? Sunnyside, yeah.
That was, what would that be?
That run on the same line as the...
That be SS?
Mount Table. Yeah. That run the same line as Mount Table and didn't go as far.
Mm-hmm.
Run up Belmont Street.
Oh, then on the west side there was Council
Creston. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
On them two lines there, none of the west side lines went over to the east side. But practically all of the east side lines went over and rather turned around on the west side.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and Council Crest.
Yeah.
That was out
of
Savor.
Well, Council Crest and King's Heights.
Well,
Willamette Heights?
We call them all the stub lines.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, those two, and then there was the end of the Rose City, it was the Park Rose stub line.
Oh.
Then there was one on the small stub line on 28th Street.
Well, were they kind of feeder lines, were they?
Yeah.
At the end of the other, just to go short distance.
Yeah. The Rose City line, which was out of Sabre, we didn't get that one down at it. That was a long line.
Mm-hmm.
That went to 82nd Street, and then the stub picked up at 82nd and went to 102nd in Park Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the King's Height, and there was, it was on King's Height too, wasn't it, the stub line?
I was on one of those lines. They had some kind of a funny little car that looked like just half a car. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
There's one of those down, if you've been downtown Portland, the old spaghetti factory's got one in the window down there, a little short one.
Where at?
You know where the old spaghetti factory is down there near the 2nd and Oak? It's a restaurant down there in an old building, and right in the window.
2nd and Oak?
Yeah,
on the west side?
Yeah. Yeah, they got one in there.
I haven't been downtown for so long.
They go down there and eat. They eat in there in that darn thing now. But what was it? Was it just a stub line?
No. They run them as years and years ago. They were main lines, you know.
Yeah.
Much long before my time.
Yeah.
They were main lines. They was there was a three compartment car. It was very much closed in the center, and then on each end. Mm-hmm. It was open.
Yeah. Well, they use some of those as kind
of
excursion cars, didn't they?
No, those are used as what we called in them days, we called trippers.
Oh.
Tripper was a car that was that left the barn, like for instance, most people got off work in them days around 6 o'clock. And those cars left the barn around 4, and they made two or three trips to town and back on the main lines.
Oh, uh-huh.
They took up the work people.
I see.
Took them
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something interesting you might be able to work out, yeah, if you see fit. Certain lines, certain districts, how shall I put it? The working people of different kind had a tendency to gather in certain districts.
Yeah.
Like Montevello was very heavy, the longshore.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Huh.
And St. John was very heavy for grain handlers.
Uh-huh.
And on the ships.
Uh-huh.
And Montevello was working men mostly, but heavy in that kind. I can recall when I first broke in on the car, it was on the Montevello line, a fellow named Bill True. And we had a habit that when we'd get to Grand and Ankeny, that was the bridge transfer line.
Yeah, I remember that.
That picked up all the bridge, at the different bridges, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
transferred from one to the other. And that gang out there in Montevello, and they'd get on. If there was a new man on the car, they'd start riding him, picking on him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, gonna be late again this morning. What's holding the guy back? And remarks of that kind, you know. Well, I hadn't been out of the Army very long, and I was a sergeant for several years in service, and I wasn't accustomed to taking that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got damn tired of it, and going down to Grand Avenue in Ankeny, when we got to Grand Avenue, it was custom to throw the front door open long before the car'd stop, and it started piling off, you know, the car'd be full in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
And those longshoremen, you know, going down to the docks, they'd catch the bridge transfer, and bridge transfer is usually waiting there for it,
mm-hmm.
on the opposite side of the street. So they'd start piling off before you'd even stop the car. Well, I took that for just so long, you know, and then one day...
I took the Grand Avenue. It was a little cold weather. I had the heavy gloves on. I stopped the car. I didn't open the door as I customarily did, you know. Stopped the car nice and easy. Took my gloves off and laid them down on the controller. Took the controller off, turned around, and I said, first one of you sons of bitches open your mouth, I'll brain you. Then I opened the door, and they all looked at me and piled off like a little bunch of sheep. They didn't say a word.
Well, what kind of people were there in the Albina area? What kind of working people were there?
Albina, they are people, mostly local people that worked around there locally. They were railroad people, and there was longshoremen and grain handlers, kind of a mixture there. There wasn't too many colored people in them days, you know.
No, I know that, but I just wondered, how about out around Mount Tabor? What were they?
Tabor was a mixture of everything, very little of that class. They're mostly star people, and maybe factories, business people, you know. Alberta was a mixture of everything, but Montevella principally was the heavy people, the truck drivers, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we still had a lot of horse drawn stuff too.
Yeah,
you know?
Did you ever have much trouble operating the cars with the horse-drawn vehicles around? And
No. Oh, I had one experience on the old Burnside Bridge there. You know, there's a funny incident. I had a little trouble with a car there, and it never occurred to me for, I would say... over 30 years. Well, I got to thinking one day and I come snapped in my mind of what I had done wrong. But it was one of those cars that you mentioned, the three compartment cars.
Yeah.
And this was the 9 o'clock load. There was people that, they're usually office workers. On Rose City was mostly office people.
Uh-huh.
And this was the milk truck on the Burnside Bridge, the old Burnside Bridge. And them rails on that Burnside Bridge is always slippery. Always, day or night, winter, summer, it was always slippery. So I was gonging for the guy to get off. It was a one-horse milk wagon.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't get off the track. And the goddamn car kept going, and I kept giving it the air and giving it the air, and it wouldn't stop. It slowed down, but it wouldn't stop. And kept slowing down, and finally it got right under this truck and picked it up and pushed it along, finally start tipping. And then he happened to roll off and didn't turn over. Jesus, he jumped out. He jumped on the car and pulled out paper and pencil and asked for addresses and witness, you know, and they all laughed at him. He said, hell, they tried his damnedest to get you off and you wouldn't go off. Some guys started that, and then all the rest chipped in with it, you know. And then it occurred to me, anyhow, 30 years or more later, one day I got to dreaming. And when you give it a car the air or a train or anything, you give it the air, then you got to release it and play with it.
Yeah.
If you hold on to it, put the air in and hold on to it, most of the time, you lock your wheels.
Yeah.
And your wheels just slide.
It's like with a car where you pump your brakes on an icy
same
street.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I had done. I had locked the damn wheels and hadn't let loose.
Go ahead.
But you know, we used to think that Portland, well, that's policy that all have in every business. That you think sometimes that the thing you're doing is the lousiest thing in the world, or the company you work for is lousiest one in the world. We used to think that about Portland, that I went down to California a little later on. I went to work for the cave system out of Oakland, run between Oakland and Richmond. Boy, oh boy, they sure were a hell of a lot lousy in Portland. Portland had a good system.
Is that right?
That was good. They had good cars.
Did you ever figure out why they had that particular gauge on those cars?
No, it never occurred to me.
I heard that maybe that most of their cars came from other cities, like St. Louis and Indianapolis, and then maybe this was why they set up that
gauge. Well, that's quite true, although there were some that were made especially for
Fort Worth. Were there?
Yeah.
Well,
we had
quite
an assortment of cars.
Yeah, I know you did. That's why I wanted.
I don't have it. My grandson's got it now. We got a book on nothing but trolley cars all over the United States.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
From horse cars on up.
Uh-huh.
And it tells all about the different kind of cars, who made them, the pictures of what mm-hmm. they look like. And
did you ever drive a horse car at all, or were they all gone?
And they were all gone.
Uh-huh.
I remember the horse cars in New York City.
Uh-huh. Oh, you aren't a native from out here then, are you?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember the cars in New York.
Did you ever operate the Council Crest line?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, now that's what they call this point. They call that, the brakes on there, they call magnetic brake.
Oh, uh-huh.
We didn't use the magnetic brake when we got off the hill. And you had to be really broke in. They didn't trust everybody with those cars.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's where they had the switches, where you had to stop and the conductor got off and pulled the derailleur
yeah.
for you. Yeah.
The principle of magnetic brake, you know what a magnet is.
Yeah.
Well, when you turn the juice on in a certain way, you generate it, a magnetic force that Graham mm-hmm. the rail.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
That was your magnetic principle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we used that until we got down to 23rd and Washington, or Burnside, whatever it is. Or Burnside, I guess. Or Washington. Anyhow, there at the foot of the hill. And from there on into town and 5th Street and up, we used the handbrake.
Oh, uh-huh.
That was no joke.
They ever have any bad accidents on those lines, like the Council Crest?
I think we had a bad accident once or twice, but I don't recall.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
I don't recall. There was no real bad ones as long as I was there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Tell me about that time that you had that car almost run away with you on that letter.
Well, that was the Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor, you know, started that... Well, the extreme end of Mount Tabor was, 80, past 82nd, I think. Or well, not quite 82nd. Anyhow, in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And went clean over to 11th and Morrison, and then up 11th Street to Hall. Then it went east on Hall for a couple of blocks or more. We're up in that neighborhood someplace, and anyhow, on 13th and Hall was the terminal. The switch mm-hmm. went on back from there.
Yeah.
So we always, always beat it like hell to get to the end of the line, you know, and as soon as you get past all the checkpoints,
mm-hmm.
just go as fast as you could. Had to make your checkpoints or the old McAllister would be there laying for you and he'd put you down in the book and you got so many demerits you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a good system. He'd hide behind trees and everything else, try to catch some poor sucker. And we'd go like hell to get the end of line and take a smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So on that one there, usually open the doors of the car and get over on the sidewalk, which would be about the same distance as here to there, to get to the sidewalk and sit down on the curb and take a smoke. Well, the air leaked out.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it would do that. It would leak out. Well, she couldn't hear it. And the damn car was right at the crest of the hill there. And damn things started off. Oh, boy. It'd have been something terrible if I'd have got down that hill. Nobody knows what the hell was
that. Yeah.
It had two curves to make. If it had made those two curves, it had landed right down on Morrison Street. Yeah.
So you really had to, run, did you?
Oh, man.
How far did you have to run before you caught it?
Not very far. I caught it because I was a young kid then.
Well, if there wasn't any air in it, how did you stop it?
Huh?
The air leaked out. You say there wasn't any air. How did you stop it?
Well, it could be that I didn't have it over far enough. I don't recall.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But even then, I could work and stop it, put it in the reverse if necessary. But I was the youngest motorman they had on, and I drew because of the fact that I had worked in all the different bonds. I drew some jobs that others didn't, like wintertime, I run a slow plow.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and Cooper was the superintendent that time. On the Broadway, and a fellow that died here not too many years ago took his place, was his assistant at that time, a guy by the name of, I got it on the tip of my, Gordon Steele.
Oh, yeah, I remember that name.
Gordon Steele was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Of course, he was a young punk at that time, and he was Cooper's secretary and assistant. And when the new Broadway bridge was built, and it's still this way now, I think, right on the east end of the bridge, before you get on the bridge proper, from Larrabee Street to the bridge, there's a little dip.
Yeah.
And then you go up on the bridge.
Yeah.
And in wintertime, snow and water would gather in that dip, and freezing weather would come along and just a sheet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this slow plow job, which was a work train, and my job was to clear the track there, so bust up this ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get up on about Larrabee Street and I'd take a run and hit it, about 10 feet. Stop and back up and hit it again, you know, and hit it again and break it up.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, here comes Cooper and Steele. They climbed up in the cab with me. It was an open car and it had a cab on each end. They climbed up in there. And I wasn't doing it good enough to suit Cooper. And he said, give a nine, give a nine. When you give a nine, it was a term, see, there's 9 points.
Yeah.
On the wrist there. One to nine points. Give a nine means you give a full power.
Mm-hmm.
Give a nine, give a nine. So I said, okay, I give a nine. Landed about that far from the outer rail of the bridge. He got off and beat it, both of them. Oh, yeah, another thing might be interesting. Working there. Lots of those lines are what we call duck boards. I think there were two pieces of 2x10 and might have been 2x12.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 2x12 was really 11.5, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those were from the curb to almost to the rail on each corner.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you see all those long lines, especially Montevello and Rose City and them, all had them.
Yeah.
Of course, Rose City was just being developed then, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially Montevello. Rose City was pretty well along, but from about 39th Street out, duck boards on them.
Did you have much trouble with the kids in those days?
No.
On pulling your trolleys and stuff?
No, you
except
didn't.
Except on Halloween, I suppose.
No, kids didn't bother them days.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like the other day. No.
Did you ever operate the Interurbans at all?
No, that was a different division altogether.
It never was.
Uh-huh. Everybody wanted that. They were waiting in line to get on the Interurban.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
was the pay better or just better?
No,
just more enjoyable
job?
I
think it was pay, I think, was a little better. But that was considered big stuff, you know.
Yeah. What were you paid?
22.5 cents an hour.
Is that right?
That's what we started at.
That's what you started at. What did it go to? Oh, yeah, was it in here?
Yeah. Oh, geez, don't run away with that. It's the only one I got.
No, this is mine.
Oh, that's yours.
Yeah. Let's see, you said... Well, you didn't say what it was.
I thought it went to
22.5 cents. Uniforms cost $15, $3.75 for a cap. It doesn't say... I don't see what it says where it went to as far as wage goes.
Oh, don't say what it went to, no.
No.
It went up to 27, I think.
Oh, did it?
But you had to be on there a million years to get that one. Most of them was around 25.
They have any strikes to try and raise wages?
No,
I know in the Lions, I was reading some history. It said that back in
day.
'06 they had a bad strike.
And when?
1906, they'd had a bad strike.
Well, that was before my time.
Yeah, I know, but I just wondered if they had any.
It wasn't even in Oregon then.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
Is this where you started operating trolleys, or did you do it back east before you came to Portland?
No, I come here with the Army from the Philippines.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we landed in Vancouver Barracks direct from
that
the
Philippines.
That
was World War I, huh?
No, before that.
Before that?
Oh, hell yes. 1912.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I went in the Army in 1908.
Uh-huh. And you kind of liked Portland and stayed, huh?